What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. Jack, we got a good one today.
Yes, sir.
One of the best shows, if not the best show on TV, man, inside the NBA. We got our brother Kenny Smith here today.
Good to be here.
We appreciate
good to
you, be man. Here.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
How are you? I mean, this is the best time of the year. I know you're back and forth shooting in Atlanta. You're in LA right now.
It's the best time, like, for a fan.
Right, right.
For a fan.
Yeah, you're
grinding
right
now. But
for me,
that grind, when I get there, I'm fine. But, okay. You know, going back and forth. I'm in L.A., as you know.
Uh-huh.
Going back and forth to Atlanta, that's a grind. But, I mean, this is the best time of year in terms of watching. And I've been a fan of basketball before I was even good at it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was always a fan. I was a dude who, like, if you put up a poster and then you just saw, like, an arm and you saw a wristband, I'm like, oh, that's Walt Frazier. I can tell everything. So, this is a great time.
How is it balancing life? Obviously, you're an AU dad as well. You have a whole family here in L.A., but you're constantly moving for your job.
You always do what you want. Like, you can always make time for what you want to do. Like, it doesn't feel heavy until it's something you don't want to do.
Right.
Like, I got to get back to an AU practice. I want to do that.
Right.
So it doesn't feel heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me I have to be at a production meeting at 7.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's a long-ass flight. So you always, you know, family, friends, relationships. It's like, it's never heavy when you want to do it.
Yeah, for it's real. Never. You've been in a few movies. You got an up-and-coming movie called Hustle with Adam Sandler.
Let's put a disclaimer out, first of all. I've always been in movies as myself.
Uh-huh.
Like, I come in, oh, there's Kenny Smith, and he says this. This is the first time I'm in a movie. And
with lines?
The Hustle is like, the movie Hustle is a different animal for me.
Because
I never had an aspiration to be an actor.
Right.
I know that I saw the episode where you had the actor.
You want to be an actor,
So I got a call from Adam. And me and him were cool. We don't know each other where we text and call. Now we do. But at that time, we didn't. And he says, man, I got this movie. It's a dramedy. And I got a part for you. It's a basketball movie. I think you'd be good in it. I'm like, all right, just send the script over. In my mind, I'm like, he's like, it's in the pandemic. You're going to have to spend like 10 days and before you quarantine. And that, send it over. So I'm looking through the script. And I see guys in it. I call him back. I'm like, I don't see my name in it. He's like, no, you're Leon. I'm like, Leon got 32 pages of dialogue, bro. I've never acted. I was like, I've never. He's like, no, you'll be great at it. I know you'll be good. So I had to do the acting coach, Jack, like a whole. And so I told him right then, I said, hold on, let me think about it. Because I know how serious he takes this stuff. Like, he's a pro at this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a pro at it. And I knew it was going to take a real commitment because I play his best friend in the movie.
Okay.
So I was like, I called back. I talked to my daughters. They're in the business. They act and they're actors. And they were like, you got to do it. You just, you can't. People die for this part.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I called them back. I was like, all right, I want to do it. But I need, who's the acting coach? I was doing 2-3 hours a day.
Really?
They scheduled me for like an hour. And I always told them to do double. because I just wanted to be on point. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to feel like I was like the only one on set.
Right.
That, you know, Queen Latifah's in the movie. You know, it's just real actors,
right,
like that people who've done it. So I just wanted to be ready.
Did you enjoy it?
It was different.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy it, 100%.
Right. Right,
100%
right.
Enjoyed it. You know, we shot in Mallorca, Spain, shot in Philly, shot in New York, you know, all over the. It was just crazy, but it's like a vulnerability that I didn't know that you needed. Like when we talking, you look away, you kind of the cameraman here, you look over here, and every, but when you're acting, you just talk to the person. Mm-hmm. You never lose eye contact with them. And so I had never talked to anybody where I don't lose eye contact with them for a minute. So that was like a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to break out of that. I do it now. It doesn't even bother me.
Right.
I do it now. I can look at people.
That's dope.
But it takes a different vulnerability to do stuff like that. And my first scene was like a, you know, they don't shoot in order. So my first scene is like he's almost crying. And I was like,
we're going to jump
into this one, the first
right out,
joint.
Come on, man.
What about the laughing water scene where I talk and the girls are dancing over on the sideline? Yeah. Like, what happened to that scene? Yeah.
So Hustle comes out soon on Netflix. You guys enjoy this teaser.
He had his moments, man. I saw it.
That wasn't him. That wasn't even close to him. It's my fault. I rushed this whole thing.
Remember our freshman year when we were playing Gonzaga? And they put John Stockton on me. And you were like, watch out for this guy.
Yes.
And I was like, does nobody look like a damn insurance salesman gonna bust my ass? Midway through the second half, 20 points, 20 assists. None of y'all would look at me. Remember that?
Of course I remember that.
Do you ever remember me playing like that again? No, because I never want to feel that feeling again. So tonight's a good thing.
All right, nothing was good about tonight, believe me.
Also, got a book coming out. Talk to us about that.
It happened, actually. I used to say, I want to write a book. And I always said, I could write a good article. I can't write a book, like, and then, you know, the whole social justice thing happened. And when I walked off the set, I was sitting on, you know, with when Floyd happened, and I was sitting on there, and I'm looking at what's going on, and the players are like walking out, and they said they're not going to play, and I went into work that day. And it was on my mind. It was just like, if it's on everybody's heart and their mind. And I'm walking through, and I'm like, guy at the gate, hey, Kenny, how you doing? Guy who comes and greets me, that lets me in. Hey, Kenny, the girl does makeup. Hey, I said, damn, everything's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing happened. I said, I can't be here today. So I just thought, I was like, I can't just be a talking head on TV. You know, and just come out like and just say a couple of words. I'm like, I gotta join the march. Dudes march. I was like, I'm gonna join the players. I can't be here. And I walked off. And from then my phone rang like a week later and it's like, you need to write a book of why you did it, how you did it, how you got there. And then all of the things it started flushing out of me. I was like, that's why I did it.
Mm.
I was like, oh, when I heard Bill Russell told me this back in when I was my coach But I was like, so the book is about, and I wrote it kind of to my kids in a sense, is to all the people I met over my life that were great and what I took from them.
Okay.
And I wish I had known it now at 25, if I'd known now at 25.
Right.
So I'm giving it to everybody, like from Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, to Dean Smith, to a good friend of mine, Guy Oseri, who's biggest guy in entertainment, slept on my couch when he was 17.
Wow.
A guy named David Kohler. Kohler is the plumbing, because we went to college. Well, he went to Duke. I was at Chapel Hill, and he stayed with me in the summer. Didn't know this guy from Adam, and he's got one of the biggest plumbing companies. And it's just like the people I ran into. I was like, damn. You know, so it's just all the things
journey.
I took from them. Yeah.
Born and raised in Queens, NYC. Talk about Queens and what it was like in the 70s growing up.
Oh, man. Queens. More 80s, brother. I know, you know. Don't date me yet, man. More
80s,
man.
It says 70s and
80s.
I said 70s and 80s.
Come on, man.
But, I was born in 78.
You know what I'm saying?
I was born in 78.
Okay, say no less, say less. But no, New York is like, it's basketball, man. Like, people always say, like, the New York players have, New York has the best. We have that argument. L.A., Chicago.
It maybe used to be that way back in your childhood.
Is.
No, but the best players are coming out of California now.
No, best players, I'm telling you.
I had the best dribblers for a long time.
No.
I half the motherfuckers couldn't hit a house if they was in the kitchen.
Hey, listen, we were LeVar Ball. I never lost when I was on the road. I went 72.
You are rare.
72-1 in like 4 years at AAU.
Yeah.
Like, I lost one game.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one, myself and Olden Polities, who made it. Like, what I always say about New York, I was like, we don't have the best players. Never. But we always have the guys who shouldn't make it. We have those guys because there's an understanding and a love for the game that's different. Meaning, I always said guys from other cities, when we used to go places like, oh, he scored 30. Be like, that's not the first question we asked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first question we always ask is, did you win?
Mm.
The second question we always ask, how did you guard your man?
Mm-hmm.
Did he bust your ass? Like, that's mm-hmm. always the first two questions. So when I went to other places, they'd be like, I had 30 today. So they always had a precedence on scoring
mm-hmm.
where guys I grew up with, you know, or even from our area, like Rafe Austin, let's say, like he could dominate a game without scoring.
Right, yeah.
You know, so we never, that's why guys I thought made it who shouldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Jackson, can't jump, can't shoot. Not
slow,
fast,
yep.
slow as hell, played 20 years in the league
yep.
and led the NBA history in scoring.
Yep.
Those are the guys that
assists.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are the guys. Guys who they shouldn't be playing D1, they make it.
Mm.
Y'all guys in LA, y'all got them dudes. Mm. Like, you got them dudes that like.
Yeah, where are you at? Y'all got some people out that way,
in
right?
Texas?
Them young oh, Texas, no, no up. Question. Yeah.
We had six guys in the Allen Iverson game from Texas.
Them young boys is coming up in Texas.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. just guys who like, they can't miss prospects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We didn't have the can't miss prospects all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we had those guys who just shouldn't make it.
Kobe Smith.
Yeah, like, just like, why is he in the league? You know, but my brother, honestly, was a big part of that culture. My brother Vince, he brought an AAU team when they were 8 and 9 years old, and it was Rafer, Speedy Claxton, Lamar Odom.
Eric Barkley.
Eric Bartley.
Yeah.
Like, all of these dudes, like, they were all on this. Ron Artest.
The church.
It was the church.
We call Aim High. He coached them from third grade ninth grade.
Yeah.
And then he would send them to those AAU teams.
Yeah.
But from third grade to ninth, every day they were all in my house, like, all these kids. I'm like, yo, where do you find these kids like this? And he's like, Kenny, I always find the kids. But if I want it more than they do, I never work them out.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a run about maybe 20 guys that made the league.
Them same kids you're talking about, though, Kenny, we was fearing them when we was high school. The church, it was Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, Ron Artest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speedy
See, that's
Claxton.
The older ones. Once they got older. But if you say, well, you ask Lamar, like, who taught you how to play?
He said, foundation. Oh,
Vincent Smith, Kenny
yeah,
Smith.
That's where it started.
You ask Shamgard. Who taught me how to play? Mm. He's like, oh, Kenny Smith, brother. You mm-hmm. have Rafer. Who taught me how to play?
Wow.
Like, Kenny Smith, brother. Like, mm-hmm. he was Kenny Anderson. You asked him who taught him how to play. Like, and you think about this. That you said the top ball handlers ever in the history of basketball. They go, Sham, Rafer, mm-hmm. Kenny Anderson. They all play for my brother. It's a similar style. And Lamar is really just a bigger version of what Kenny Anderson was.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they all play. They all have that. That's mm-hmm. him. That's my brother. He had that got Midas touch. They used to call him Midas touch. It was crazy. One time I'm sitting there. I'm going on the airport. And I had, you know, I'm going to the airport. And a limo rolls down. And it's Diddy. He's like, yo, Kenny Smith. I'm like, yo, what's up? What's up, Puff? Because he's Puff then. He wasn't mm-hmm. Diddy then. It's like, what's up, Puff? He's like, yo, your brother's a star maker. Like, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I got to meet him. I'm like, damn, Puff, the music. He's like, he's the star maker. That
That's
was my brother.
I love it.
When did basketball come in the mix for you?
Always. Like, we grew up, like, my household, like, we were listening to, this is before cable and all that, and where you could see every game on TV. We had the radio on. We mm-hmm. listened to Marv Albert. Like, I would be like, you know, Frazier brings the ball across the midcourt line. He passes over to Monroe. But I grew up with Marv Albert, so he brought the texture of the game just through radio. Mm-hmm. And so we listened to games, my pops. I cried when the Knicks lost. I'd be sitting at home crying. Like I said, I had everybody posted. I'd wait outside of Madison Square Garden, get autographs, you know, my first autograph. I remember Bob Love from the Bulls. He was the first guy to stop and give me an autograph. So all them other guys.
Was Bob Love trash?
No, Bob Love was real.
Oh, he was nice.
Butterbean Love, he was good. He was real, small. He kind of played like you.
Oh,
that's crazy.
He wasn't trash then. No, he damn sure wasn't trash.
He actually played like you.
He played like me. He was live.
He played like you.
All right, Bob Love.
No, he was like a 6'8". He was like one of 6'8", slim, handle the rock, shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he played like you, actually.
All right,
that's crazy.
All right, Bob Love. Yeah, man, I got to check him out.
Butterbean. So, yeah. But, yeah, we were a basketball family. So, we loved the sport. My mom, rest her soul, she was a sports fan. I called my mom in the league, right? Say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, that damn Derek Jeter ain't hitting day. Like, she watching the Yankees. Yeah, like, yeah. Just, like, she was that type of mom. So we always loved sports growing in our household.
Mm-hmm. You got a Showtime documentary coming, Point Guards.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's the, you know, all the point guards that came out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually doing it with Kevin Durant's company, produced it and brought and asked me to be part of it. I was like, sure. So I kind of filled in some gaps and holes, who to interview. Once they start, like I said, realize the connection that they all had played on my AAU
brother,
team
yeah.
and with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they were like, oh, can we get, how do we, I was like, oh, you got to interview him. He's like, yeah, he played for my, and they kept saying my name.
Mm-hmm.
Saying,
or, Kenny's brother.
Yeah, Kenny's brother, Kenny's mm-hmm. brother. It's like, so the connection was like, you got to EP it and like, make sure we getting the story correct. Mm-hmm. But, New York point guards is like,
ain't no secret.
Yeah, no secret. We'll give up our girl before we give up the basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can have her, man. Nah, but you can't take this rock.
Right.
You know, those are the type of things that, you know, we dribble through keyholes and all of that. And it's funny because I watched today's game from Kyrie and Steph, and they was like, oh, that's the best. I was like, that's the stuff we did when we. Well, at home.
Mm.
It really was the way we played when we were home, but we would never do it in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody had that.
The game wasn't ready for it.
Mm-hmm. No, it was like you get pulled out. Like, mm-hmm. you get chastised for doing the stuff that guys do today.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody had that in their repertoire. Everybody. Like, I'm like, no, that's not the best handle I've seen.
Mm.
Like, ever. Like, no, Kyrie's got a great handle for the NBA. He's got the best. But no, he's not the best handle I've seen.
So who's the best handle you've seen, you feel like?
If they let Skip play like he know how to play was in the league and not try to make him play like a regular point guard in the league, he would have been so much better.
Let me tell you,
but he toned it down.
Good question. Without Skip's handle.
They toned it down.
So I didn't know Skip as Skip. I knew him as Rafer.
Rafer, yeah.
Because he was played for my AAU team. So I'm hearing, oh, you got to go see Skip Tamalu. So literally, I come back. I'm working out. I'm still in the league at the time, so I'm working out. And my brother brings Rafer to the gym. And he's like, well, we had a rite of passage. So if you were the younger kid, you had to always rebound for the pro or the college dudes. So mm-hmm. the high school dudes would rebound for mm-hmm. Rafer, and so on and so forth. So you had to, and Rafer and those guys would rebound for me when I needed to work out. Mm-hmm. That was their only job. So anyway, so Rafer's there at the gym, and he's working out, and he's passing me the ball. And I'm like, after the game, I work out, I told my brother, I said, I got to go uptown to see this, you know, to go see Skip. But he knew it was Skip.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I go uptown, Rafer walks in the park, and the park goes crazy.
Ooh.
And I'm like, Rafe, he's like, I'm here to see the dude Skip. He's like, I'm Skip. I'm like, you're Skip?
Yeah, that's
and
dope.
So I'm like, that's what? Dope. He's like, so he goes in, and he's doing all this stuff, and I pull him aside, I said, Rafe, why don't you do this in an NBA game? He's like, nah, you can't do this stuff in a real game. I said, you could do it.
Yeah.
What you're doing against these dudes, you can actually do. So he and Ali Mo.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
This, I always talk, when we talk about this, we all think we were talking about the other day, I said, this is one guy that was playground that could have played in the league and dominated.
Ali Mo.
He was 6'8", 6'9".
Ali Mo, yeah, don't question.
Was handled like a nice. Point guard.
Ali Mo, I've known, you know, he grew up in my uncle's building.
Black Widow.
Yeah, so my uncle was like, he was a hustler. He wasn't a drug dealer, but he was a hustler. So he owned like four or five buildings up in Harlem. And Alimo stayed in one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
rest in peace.
Yeah, no question. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching Ali play, and I'm like, Ali, you could be in the league. He's like, nah, Kenny, I don't think I could be in the league. I'm like, no, Ali, you could be in the league. Because he was better than Rafer. And so I call, this is the first year of the G League, the NBA, now the G League.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get him a tryout. He didn't go.
Really?
He didn't go. And I call him a week later. I'm like, he dodging my, you know when somebody dodging your call.
Yeah.
He never wanted to do it. He's the same guy that he and Rafer got the ticket to go to college together. And he decided to cash the ticket in. And Rafer went to a talk and became Rafer. Mm-hmm. He would have been in the league for sure.
Top 5 point guards ever.
Ever?
New York.
Okay.
New York point guards ever.
All right. I'm in the top 5, so we...
Go ahead on. Yeah. Goddamn right. Come on, talk your shit. Gotta put yourself in there.
No, I mean, I'm the most unique in this sense. I was the first guy who could shoot.
And you the only one who won a dunk contest, too.
Yeah, I'm the only guy who could shoot from New York. Like, I made it a point to be a shooter.
Mm.
I was like, because everybody was handling, I'm like, I'm gonna shoot. I'm gonna learn how to shoot.
You know, you probably are the only one.
Yeah, and then I was in a contest called a Pepsi Hot Shot.
Yeah, I won. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that shit.
You did it?
When I was in Sacramento. Yeah,
I went from city to city, yeah. And I went to the finals of the Pepsi Hot Shot, and that's where I really learned how to shoot.
Textbook.
Yeah. So without question, so I'm in there. I would say Kenny Anderson is probably the top.
Chips.
He's the highest. I think he's the best high school player I've ever seen.
Ooh.
Ever. And I've seen LeBron. I actually asked Tom Kuchowski, who rest his soul, who's the mm-hmm. guru of high school basketball, who's the best player he's seen? He said Kenny Anderson. Oh. I said, why? Because he said he's 6'1" and 110 pounds and doing what he does.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron was, and Kareem were mm-hmm. yeah. a different level. So Kenny Anderson, Steph.
I was about to say, did you see Steph in high
Steph,
school?
Steph was really good in high school. He was right below. He was a notch below.
Kenny, yeah.
He was a notch below.
Yeah.
Pearl Washington in high school.
Mm.
He was Pearl. A matchup. It came too easy for Pearl. Like, he was a guy who got... You know, what's the guy from out here? Oh, man, he played with my nephew. That got really good early.
Shea Cotton?
Shea Cotton.
Yeah, we just talked about
that's how Pearl
him.
Washington was.
Yeah.
He was Shea Cotton.
Yeah.
He was our Shea Cotton. He just, mm-hmm. But he made it, but he just got good it. Too early. You know, I'm not going to go like Bob Cousy and Lenny Wilkins. I didn't see none of those guys play back in the day. Kareem Reed is really good, but he's not top 5.
Booger Smith?
Booger's not top 5. I would say Mark.
Mark is Jackson.
Top 5.
Yeah.
Mark
yeah.
is
oh,
top
no,
five.
No question.
Yeah,
no
Mark
question.
Mark is top 5. Even high school, because... You said talk to talk. Yeah, they are like, I always mess. Charles and them always like, I'm a star. And they, you know, they talk the star talk on our show, Charles and Shaq. Mm-hmm. I'm like, first of all, did you make McDonald's All-American, Chuck?
He's ooh, like, hit him with it, Kenny.
He's like, no. I was like, oh, by the way, I said, there's two dudes in here who's voted top 35 high school players of all time. I got a ball.
Yeah.
You know, McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's me and Shaq. We the only ones in here. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Me and Shaq, top 35 high school players of all time.
Yeah.
I said, oh, wait, Chuck, were you college basketball player of the year? Like, no, nah, were you player of the year in your conference? Like, no, oh, okay. I was player of the year. I said, you just got good late.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was good for an eight-year run when you was still trying to develop your game.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got good when you was in your late 20s.
Like, yeah.
I was good since 17, man.
Right.
Like, it's a whole different thing to carry that long banner, man. So, yeah, so those are the top 5.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's the NBA Finals, and two teams are about to make their mark.
On 75 years of NBA history, 1 second on the court can define a player's legacy.
One shot can send a city to the top and give bragging rights to every fan. One ring is at the center of it all.
And the stakes have never been higher. From game 1 to 7, from rookie to legend.
From 48 minutes to OT. If it happens in the NBA Finals, it's forever. Visit NBA.com/finals to learn more.
So as you mentioned, McDonald's All-American, you end up choosing North Carolina. Who else is in the mix for colleges?
For college, I was Duke and at school from Durham. We don't say that name. And Virginia. Those are schools I visited. But I always wanted to play in the ACC at that time. That was when the conference was, to me, the ACC had the best conference. I wanted to play against the best. But I chose North Carolina because when I went to the practice and I saw Sam Perkins, Brad Daugherty, Michael Jordan, I looked at it and I said, I don't know if I could play here. I was a little nervous. I had never seen seven-footers like they had. They had 10 McDonald All-Americans on the team at one time. I was like, damn, I don't know if I could play here. I said, I know I could go to Duke and play. I could play at Virginia. And I said, I got to go here because I can't be there thinking that they're better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wound up going. At that time, you know, which is now if you don't do it, I was only the fifth freshman to ever start at the university. Like, but now if you don't start as a freshman, people like, they're
good enough, right?
But,
he said don't transfer.
But that was unusual to start as a freshman, you know, for me. So I chose North Carolina because of that reason. And they had everything. Like, all the schools were like, oh, we got a good academic school, good social life, I was a good basketball night. They had everything when I was there. It was like a movie. You know how you see those college movies?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, the fraternities and the kids walking through campus.
Bright, sunny days.
It just felt like a movie. I was like, this isn't real. Like, I'm coming from New York. It's like, there's no campus. St. John's doesn't have a campus. Mm-hmm. Like, really. Like, so I was like, they were like, they go, the city's your campus. I'm like, nah, bro. I'm not. I would have had to take the same bus that I took to high school to take to St. John's. I was like, nah, I can't. I'm not having a bus pass going to St. John's.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Yeah, I mean, your freshman year team, to name a few, Michael Jordan, Brad Daugherty, Sam Perkins, yourself. I mean, what were those practices like?
You know what the crazy part was?
That wasn't the question. Who was the best player out of the bunch?
I'm going to get that.
Yeah, I want to hear that one first because I want to see what he's going to say.
Sam Perkins was the best player my freshman year. Like, because Sam was a four-time All-American. That wouldn't happen today either. Like, first team. Sam was the best player. Michael was the most dynamic, but he didn't have a handle. He couldn't handle the rock, like, in college.
MJ?
No, he couldn't handle the rock. So, like, even at times I'd be like, we play pickup, like, oh, I got Mike. You're like, because I knew, I'm like, I'm get up on you. Like, you can't handle the rock. And
what happened? And then?
And then?
He's the only guy that I know that his weaknesses that he had at the end of his career was his strengths. The only person I've ever, LeBron's not like that, KD, nah, nobody. He's the only one where at the end, his handle was crazy and his jump shot was pure. Mm-hmm. I used to say, how do you miss a jump shot? You got a perfect form. Like, but we talked about it. I was like, this is how competitive, we talk about competitive with Mike. So I used to say, I was like, it's like, oh, you think you can guard me? It's like, yeah, because your handle's whack. I used to say, your handle's whack. I can guard you. And like, boom, boom, boom. So now we doing that, we playing, he goes to the Olympics, comes back, goes to the league, comes back for the summer because all the players, every mm-hmm. North Carolina player came, but we all come back and play. So the gym is doodles.
Mm-hmm.
Like like any NBA team we would have beat, like mm-hmm. in that gym, without question. And he's boom, 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 he's gone. I'm like, damn, this gang guy, he's like, my handle. Been working on it. But I forgot I said that shit.
Right,
like, I really forgot
I
said it. And he's like, my handle, right? You're talking about my handle. But he was, like, the stories are true about his competitiveness. Like, we were playing pickup one day, so this is when you knew you made it. I made it, too, because the juniors and seniors, you know, even at y'all school, probably picked the team.
He didn't go to school, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You straight out of high school.
He went to Mexico.
Right. So they pick. So wait. At North Carolina, this is how we do it. So the pros go on one end, right. And the college players go on the other. And then you pick your teams.
Yep.
But you could pick the pros.
Crossover,
You could cross over.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael or Sam, whoever they were, senior leaders and junior leaders, they picked the team. And the first day, you know, as a freshman, you're just sitting
because
they're not picking you.
Mm-hmm.
So you get on the court in. So about a week later, Michael's picking, and he's like, "I got New York." They used to call me New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got New York. I was like, "Oh shit, I got picked first."
Mm.
He's like, "First? It's 20 pros in the gym."
Yeah, official.
I was like, "Oh, it's
kidding." Yeah,
I was like, "So my confidence was boosted." So now we playing, right? And we winning. We winning games. And so every time we win, you know, you go get water, and I'm watching Mike, and he's standing in the middle of center court. I'm like, "Yo, what are you doing?" He's like, "I want the motherfuckers to know that I'm never leaving the court.
Mm.
I'm going to be the first to stand here and the last." I was like, "All right, so we both going to stand here." And I was like, "This is what we doing. This is how we doing."
This is what we doing.
Yeah, I mean, he was the first dude that I met that could back up his trash.
Mm.
Like every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Always a talker?
Always a talker and always backed it up, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he really took more pride, especially then, his defense. He's like, "Walter Davis, you're not scoring today. You're not scoring today, Walter Davis."
Mm.
Like, that's the type of energy he was on all the time. And when he got to the league, so we had dorms, and our dorm numbers don't change. So if you had dorm number 8, it's the same phone number next year. You're
okay.
Just a different person.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, when he comes in town, this is before the Instagram, and
mm-hmm.
you'd hear the phones go, "Bring." One, and somebody hang up, bring, and you just hear it going down.
Y'all.
So it's him, and all he say is, "School's in session." Boom, school's in. So everybody come in the hallway and be like, Mike's here, right?
That's
like,
yeah,
Mike. So he go and he call each room to let her know, come to the gym.
School's in session.
So the gym would be packed. We'd have 4,000 people watching our pickup games.
That's crazy.
4,000.
That's dope as hell.
It was unbelievable. That time of basketball was a different. There was no Charlotte Hornets.
Right.
So people would, and this is no social media, and people, the all whole
somehow
campus would
find
just
out.
Know.
Or just word of mouth.
Yeah. Word of mouth. And it would be 4,000 people when he came in that gym.
The good old way.
I can picture that.
I mean, obviously with his competitiveness and his desire to get better at a young age, did you see him possibly being a great?
I knew he would be great. I never thought he'd be the greatest.
Mm.
Because when I first saw him, and then when I saw him, when we, even in practice, like, you don't, like, I guess it's like you have a beautiful wife and you, like, take it for granted.
Because
she's there every day.
Mm-hmm.
You see her every moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see every moment. You know, a beautiful person you're around. You see their bad side, too. You see the days that they're mm-hmm. in the mood. So for him, I saw those moments and I was like, but then when he left and he came back, I saw that the energy that he put into his game. Like, he never stopped working, man. Like, his stuff is not an accident. Like, it's not like, "Oh, he was gifted." No. He was the most fundamentally sound player that ever played the game. If you watch the videos, his left hand is in the correct passing lane. His footwork is impeccable. Offensively, you know, his jab step is he's the always ball move, feet stay still. Like, all of those things were all the time. And then he was the best athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys who were that athletic didn't rely on
the package,
that.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. as great as even, you know, and this is not a knock, but as great as Clyde Drexler was, that was the difference between him and Mike to me. It's just the fundamentals of jab step.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the stuff that Dean Smith
mm-hmm.
learned. But and then Mike gets a lot of credit for, like, his quotes. But it's just Dean Smith's quotes.
He's stealing
I'm gonna
them,
keep
huh?
it real. It's stolen. It's all plagiarism.
He says it's all plagiarism.
It's 100%. It's just, he just adds expletives. But it's everything that Coach Smith said to us, that's what Mike said.
Wow.
Every interview. You can pull it. It's every interview. It's plagiarism to the finest.
I mean, speaking to Coach Smith, what was it like, some of the stories and memories you have? Rest in peace, obviously, one of the greatest to ever do it, Dean Smith.
He was, to me, it was like playing for Gandhi.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? It was surreal about his inner person, who he was. My favorite story is not even with me. It's with Maktar Njai, who played at North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Played at Michigan, transferred
mm-hmm.
in.
Went to Oak Hill.
And went to Oak Hill, yeah. Mm-hmm. He went to Oak Hill. So Mac was, you know, having a tough time in practice. So Roy Williams was assistant coach at the time. And he's in Bill Guthridge. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting on Mac. Like, Mac, what's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. Coach Smith never cussed. Ever. Excuse me. Ever, ever, ever. Never cussed. So they're getting on him. And so they throw him out of practice. Right? So Coach Smith, after practice, goes to him, says, Mac, is everything all right? Like, homesick? Like, and he's like, no, coach. And he's not looking at him. He's like, Mac, look at me when I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, coach, I'm just not feel. Mac, look at me as I talk to you. He said, coach, in my culture, to look an adult in the eye is
sign
of disrespect. So Coach Smith says, oh, okay. Walks out. So next day in practice, there's no Coach Guthridge, who threw him out of practice. Coach Guthridge is not there for a week. Mm. So Mac said he gets a call from his mom. She's like, Mac, there's this man here in Africa. Says he's your coach, assistant coach. I know it's Coach Smith. I don't know him well. He's been here for a week saying he's learning our culture. Mm. He sent Coach Guthridge to learn his culture. Ooh. So he could never make that mistake again. Mm. That's deep. What Coach Smith is.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's dope. Wow. That's deep. That's the best story I heard of.
That's dope.
Gentlemen, Father's Day is around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure all father figures are out there looking daddy material this June.
Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature Lawnmower 4.0, is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from the head to toe.
This right here is no dad joke. Treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped.
Manscaped is designed with fathers in mind, and the Performance Package 4.0 is here just in time for your pop's special day.
Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear, nose, and hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a traveling bag that holds your goodies.
First off, let me start by saying the Lawnmower 4.0 will be the official MVP of Father's Day.
Their fourth generation trimmers feature a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400K LED spotlight he needs for more precise shave.
Does your dad use the same trimmer for his body and face? Let's throw that out the window and give him the upgrade he deserves.
But wait, there's more. Manscaped just launched their brand new Boxer 2.0. That, dare I say, the best boxers ever?
We all know dads love their comfort. With summer just around the corner, the Boxer 2.0 are here to save every father from the uncomfortable heat.
These new boxers are packed with revolutionary features, including the jewel pouch, designed to cradle the boys in their own special space. This right here is a game changer.
Whether he's mowing the lawn, taking out the trash, or golfing in the sun, these moisture-wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat.
Dads, buy these for yourself. Son, buy these for your dads. Ladies, buy these for your man. And the dog daddies, you deserve this treat too.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with code SMOKE at manscaped.com.
Again, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code SMOKE. Shake what your mama gave you. Nah, shake what your daddy gave you.
Sixth pick to the Kings in 1987 draft. Used classes included Scottie Pippen, David Robinson, Reggie Miller, Reggie Lewis, Muggsy Bogues, Mark Jackson, Kevin Johnson, Horace Grant. Do you think your class is underrated?
We would be the top class now, the way the game is played today. I don't think we are underrated for that time, but for this time, like, Reggie Miller would be picked second in the draft.
Yes.
Reggie Lewis would be picked third. Mm-hmm. I would be took one because I was the best in college out of all them dudes in college. In college, I was better than them in college. You know what I'm saying? Scottie Pippen would be four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? David Robinson probably would still be one. He might be one. Yeah, he still would be one because it would be a unique big because he probably would have stretched his three
handle
out
a little bit. He could handle it. Three. Yeah.
But today's like game, Horace Grant.
He was a shooter, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? This is we were that era, this era. Mm-hmm. We were just born in the wrong era. Like, but that was like a prototypical, like, 2022 draft, you'd be like, you had a hell of a draft with them dudes. Because Reggie was shooting threes when there was no three-point line. Like, you know, it was bananas. Like, he and Reggie Lewis, those guys were. And then Reggie Lewis and Reggie from Georgetown. Williams.
Yeah.
Reggie Williams was a 6'7", great three that would, in this today's game, would be prototypical guy.
Yeah. Talk about the state of the league at that time. We talked about John Salley. He said it was a really drug-infested league around that time, and it was an image problem around that time.
See, I came in right on the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was the, like, John is, like, 2 years older, maybe. So he caught the last tail of it. When I was in, it was like, we wasn't doing what dudes are doing today. Like, nah. Up in smoke wouldn't exist, bro. It wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, all the smoke wouldn't exist. Like, and we were like, they were like, guys were cheap too. So our era were, you were first starting to make $1 million, $2 million. They weren't blowing $10,000 in a nightclub on liquor.
You was playing with Vernon Maxwell now. Come on.
But I'm going to tell you about Vernon. Vernon was buying drinks. He wasn't buying bottles.
Okay, that's my boy now.
He
so
was buying drinks. He wasn't buying bottles.
I learned a lot.
There was no sparklers.
I learned a lot from him.
There was no sparklers.
Oh, you want no sparklers?
No sparklers. Vernon bought 10 shots.
Yeah.
But he ain't not buying a bottle.
He's
not buying an $800 bottle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So no sparklers. No, it was. So we wanted to clean up. So guys, more than anything, they would drink. I see, you know, you would see, I thought it was more like a drinking issue in the league where, but now, you know, I didn't catch that whole cocaine. I grew up in that.
Yeah.
Growing up in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you grew up in the crack. I grew up in the crack era.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like poverty and a lot of money. You just like.
Either or.
It was
in between.
It was no in between. I used to see guys like literally overnight have pockets and like duffel bags full of money. One of my boys, you know, the name nameless, he's in that game, but he was a great basketball high school player. So, you know him because he plays. But he was like a smooth hustler.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't know he was really doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a beautiful house, family. He throws nice parties, no drug scene. So he pulls me in his garage one day and he's like, Kenny, I'm like, oh, this is a nice car. Boom, boom, boom. He's showing me his cars and he's like, you my guy, so I got to ask you if you want to do this. So he opens, the trash cans that you put out?
Mm-hmm.
He opens two of them up and they're filled with cash. He's like, it's $300,000 in this one. It's like $400,000 in there, just by weight, I could tell. If you give me $250,000 cash, write a check for $250,000, you could take the bow, because you could go in and cash this, I can't.
Trying to clean that money.
I'm like, where I'm from? He's like, no, I just had to ask you though, because I don't want to hear somebody hear that you didn't get a chance at this money and you my guy. I'm like, nah, I don't get down like that. I don't get down like, I'm good. I'm like,
damn.
Yeah, so it's like, Matt's
right.
Like, yo, yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah, buddy.
That was a hard note because you see the cash. It's like,
right there in your face.
It's like $600,000 in cash,
mm-hmm.
like sitting there. And they're like, just give me $250,000, write a check. And I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, that money, so
I probably would have did it.
That money, you got to think, that money got all kind of paraphernalia and all kind of stuff. They can get you by the money, not no even
I throw that shit it. In the washer and the dryer.
That ain't going to do it. That ain't going to do it, man.
It was funny because
you should know better than that.
I got
that
the funniest story about Steven, man. Chucky Brown. You played with Chuck.
Chucky Brown.
That was my guy. So Chucky was my guy, right? So this is right when you went in the stands. So I didn't know you well. You know, we had talked a couple times.
And from being in Houston.
Being in Houston.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I called Chucky. I'm like, yo, what kind of dude is Steven, man? Like, he jumped in the stands. He's like, Kenny, man, yo, you'll love him. You'll love Jack. I love him. He's like, because Max was my guy.
Yeah.
So me and Max were linked to the arm. Like, his kids called me Uncle Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
I always had like a relationship with guys like that for some reason. And when I'm not really like that.
Right.
You know, but I always gravitated to
a good balance.
It was a balance.
Yeah.
He's like, you love Jack. I'm like, why? He's like, he's a soldier. He's like, Jack's a soldier. But he's the soldier hoping for war.
Looking for it.
He's the one hoping for war. I was like, I get it. I had never heard anybody describe like that.
That's funny as a motherfucker.
And from that point on, I understood him.
Right.
Like, he's like, it's like, I got it.
He wants to smoke, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. He's like, he's looking for it. Like,
hey, Chucky, a great dude, man.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from him, too.
Yes, indeed. So that was my first. So then I understood why he went to stand. And then I understood what was going on. I understood his old mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't even remember that I called you. And then
I remember.
Because we were going, we were talking about it on TNT. So I was just like, yeah, I was telling him, you know, the Chucky story. I just don't like to go on TV with something that's a sensitive issue without talking to the person first.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to just.
You're the only one did that, though.
Really?
You the only one did that.
Yeah. I just don't like basketball. I ain't going to call him. Like, yo, you ain't get back on D, bro. Like, mm-hmm. knock it off.
Life.
Like, here's the film. Life stuff. I'm gonna just check in. And he was telling me, he's like, Kenny, man, you know I'm not really like that. I said, Jack, I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but this is your second incident.
Yeah. I'm talking about not even a year.
Yeah. I'm like, it's your second one. And I said, you're a good guy. But if you keep doing bad things, you're really a bad guy who want to be good.
Mm.
So you got to realize who you are.
Right.
Like, even we all, like, everybody who's good ain't all good.
Right.
You know, everybody bad, we know. We from the hoods. Like, everybody who bad ain't all bad. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, they just not all bad. Mm-hmm. And everybody who good ain't all good.
Absolutely.
So, but if you continually do bad shit.
That's all I can say.
You're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You are a bad person. Like, you got to own it.
Right.
And so I was like, and then even when he was doing that, like, I told him when he retired, I said, yo, you a media dude. Like, we were on a plane. We had to sit next to each other on a plane.
Yeah,
like, and I was like, yo, you could do this media thing, man. Yep. Like, you was on our show. Yo, you really good. Like, I think he thought I was blowing smoke. And I'm like, no, bro, you really good. Dudes, come on. They don't get it. Like, you get it. Like, you can, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't think you was blowing smoke because I can go back on my Instagram and showed you when I got off the plane, I made a post saying how I sat next to you and what you were saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I made a post about it.
I meant it. I meant it.
90, you were traded to Atlanta and the same year traded to Houston. First thoughts of playing with Hakeem?
It was the first time in my life I went to Fondy Rec Center and... It was the first time in my life I was playing, so we playing pickup, and we're on the same team. And I threw the ball inside, and the guy guarding me left. That had never happened to me in my life. It was the first time. I was like, oh, they leave you playing with him? That had never happened to me. Yeah, I played in Sacramento my first 2 years.
Come on, man.
Like, I led the league. I was second in the league in minutes.
The Carolina Blue Jersey.
Second in the league in minutes on a bad team. I'm playing 40. I played 45 minutes a night my second year in the league.
Mm.
I only came out the game 3 minutes, which is another story because I was Jerry Reynolds was coaching. First it was Bill Russell, then Jerry Reynolds, and Jerry's like, "What's you know? You get all upset at me when I take you out." I'm like, "Yeah, Jerry, you just take me out the wrong 3 minutes." Mm. I was like, "You don't know what you're doing."
Right.
So, but it was the first time I threw it in and they left me. I was like, oh, it's going to be different. So then I was like, I need to learn. I didn't shoot. My first 3 years in the league, I took 83 twos in 3 years. And I said, I got to learn how to shoot the three.
Because
I didn't know how to shoot the three.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at a charity game, and Dale Ellis was there. And I said, Dale.
That's one of the ones.
I said, you shoot the three real easy. How do you do it? And he showed me how. He's like, no, you get your feet set. This is how you get your balance. I said, because this is far. Like, for me, I was like, this just feels far. It's like, and you to balance, and you get your legs. And I practiced it. So I was like, in my first 20 games, I took 83s. Just based off playing with him, throwing it in, and they leave you.
Double.
And then, you know, still, at that point, I was still the Jet. Now I'm a prop plane. But I was still a Jet. So, like, it was if you ran at me, I could go by you. Yeah. I could go by you. And so, you know,
you had Vernon, a nice mid-range jumper too.
Yeah, and then me and Vernon together, like Vernon was fast as hell. Mm-hmm. Vernon was, for those who don't know, Vernon was Dwayne Wade before Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't have the mental stability. But if he had Dwayne Wade's mental stability, he would have been Dwayne Wade. He would have, that's it.
That's a good call.
He just didn't have it. Like he, Vernon, you know, I was his psychiatrist in the sense that, you know, because everybody knew that we were close and I loved him to death. And so Rudy would be like, Kenny, go get him. Rudy T, our coach. Oh, Kenny, go get Vernon. Oh, go get Vernon. And I'm like, yo, listen.
That's my
y'all
guy.
Gonna pay we me extra.
We had a Vernon story. This is when we was with the We Believe Warriors. We went in, was it to Houston? And remember, he's in there getting a full workout. Come on, Nelly, I still got it.
Yeah.
Like we were walking
no,
in.
No, you walk by Vernon now, you think he's 23.
Yeah, no, we were walking in the gym getting ready for practice, and Max had had a whole hour workout sweating, showing than Don Nelson. He still had, he wanted a 10-day for our Warrior team at that time. It was crazy as hell.
Word. That's my dog.
He's probably like the second best athlete. Michael.
Wow.
And him is person. And Iguodala. Like just.
Pure.
Pure athlete. Mm-hmm. Like I had never seen something like him, like Vernon. Plus, he had my back too far. Like,
too far. I love him, bro.
Too far. Like, he just have your back so far that it's almost scary. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Trust me, I know.
It's almost scary. Yeah. Type of love. He's the first guy to go on the stands.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I didn't want to say it, but I was about to.
Oh, he's the first guy to
in
go
Dallas.
On the stands. No, this was in Portland.
Oh, it was in Portland?
Yeah, in Portland. First time. So we getting drove. This is after we won the championship. We getting drove. We went losing by 20. So Vernon he's going to entertain anything that can be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy is screaming at the top of his lungs, you know, oh, you guys are no champs. You suck. Blah, 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 blah. He's not going to be. So Vernon's like, he's sitting right here in the timeout. I'm literally here. And Vernon goes, you keep talking that shit. I'm going to come up there and smack the hell out you. You're not going to do anything, Maxwell. Gets up. And it was, you know how you have that flight or flight moment where I froze. Because I'm watching him instead of tackling him
right,
to stop
his ass
him.
Down, right.
I'm watching him and it's like a movie. And I'm like, is he really going up there? He's going up there.
Smacked the shit out of him.
And I was like, oh my God, I could have prevented the whole thing. So to this day, I still want to pay the fine for him. Because I was like, I could have stopped him. Because that was always my job, is to stop him. Because I was the only one who could like bring him back. But if he's doing this show, he'd be real quiet and pat. You'd be like, that's not Mad Max. But when that light switch turned on, oh my God.
It was
only like two people in the world that could turn it off, and I just happened to be one of them. Mm. And I could like say two things, three things, and he'd come back. And he'd be like, okay.
Yeah,
they say like you like that. People tell me you like that. You got to switch, Matt.
Oh, yeah, you got to switch.
Yeah.
Like right now. Like yeah. Nobody
you got about four or five different switches.
Yeah. You got to switch.
Yeah.
And do you have, who's the guy who can stop your switch?
Probably him, yeah. And then, yeah. Not there's a couple people that can, but yeah.
You got to switch, though.
But you mild-mannered, like, even now, like, and then...
Well, that's my thing, because, I think it's a lot of people. My whole thing is, like, I don't even go looking for it. Just the disrespect thing, I don't do very well.
I was cool with you until
the disrespect happens. I don't like that.
Right. And that's like that was Vernon's switch.
Yeah.
It was disrespect.
I don't like the disrespect.
And he always thought disrespect was, like, not acknowledging who he was. Like, looking through him. So if you look through him in any manner...
It's an issue.
He had an issue with you.
We need Mad Max on here. We need to track him down.
He had an issue. He would fight every game we played the Bulls. He'd fight Michael every game, every single game. And so
that's what I used to do when I couldn't stop somebody.
He started fighting. He start every single game. He's gonna start a fight with Michael. But the crazy part is, Michael's like, yo, this dude is out. He's crazy. I'm like, why you said that? He's like, he brought his son in here. After the game, we have a fight, Kenny. In all Jordan, Air Jordan gear. to get autographs. I just fought this dude. He's like, that's all. But right. that was Max.
That's
like,
dope.
Because Mike would look through him. You know, Mike is not, he's like, Mike say stuff like, yo, you see who's on me, Paxson, throw me the... Oh, nah, you can't
that's
say
that
shit. You can't make comments like that. Like,
you see who's on me.
that's looking through.
Right.
Like,
Hell yeah.
Like, here it comes.
You might hit the jumper, but I'm going to whip your ass.
Exactly.
That's what I
used to say. Exactly. Exactly.
I'll whip your ass out here.
I've seen you do it. I've seen, like, I didn't know that about you until late in your career, even watching you. Him I knew because of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen Vernon, like, physically intimidate guys.
I think that's the first person who cursed me out when I think I was a rookie in preseason. He cursed me out so bad. I'm like, they talk to people like this in the NBA?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we was on the street. He talked to me so bad, and that's when I fell in love with him.
If you weren't from that element, you would take it so personally. Either you're going to fight or you would be intimidated.
Yeah.
But if you're from the element, you just know a lot of it's talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
get it.
Once you're off the court, it's dead.
It's this talk. It's not, like, going there.
Yeah.
But he's so close.
Yeah.
On the edge.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
94-95 back-to-back championships. What was it like to get that first taste?
It's called Tustin, the ring.
Tustin.
They changed from Houston
Clutch
to Tustin.
City. You Google it right now, it's Clutch City. Mm. Clutch City. We made it where a city that was known for choking and not doing well to a city that could do well under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the crazy thing about a championship? We were the first championship franchise, sports franchise ever. In Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The Astros hadn't won. The mm-hmm. football team
hadn't
won.
It wasn't even football back then, was there?
Yeah, now,
oh, Oilers. The Oilers, that's
now
right.
Now the Texans. Nobody mm-hmm. had won.
Right.
Ever. Until we won.
Oh, it was crazy.
And I noticed a change in the city.
Oh, big change.
I didn't know that it would do that. Like, I always thought that it would have changed me and us. But I saw the way people moved in the city and with the way they thought. So it was a great feeling. To go back to back, I think the second one felt better because we came from a 6 seed.
Mm-hmm.
We never had home court advantage. So we started every
on the road.
Series on the road, mm-hmm. two games on the road, the first two games. And we get off. So I had a thing where Dream and they was like, you gonna say it? I'm like, oh. So we come off the team playing. I'm like, and we'd be in another person's city, be like, we're home. So I had to say
that was your
it
thing.
As soon as we land, we're home. Because we weren't home. We never started, like, we win a series and we'd gone straight to the A City.
Mm-hmm.
We can win in Houston and be like, damn, after the game, you got to fly out. It's game 7. You flying out right after. So it was that second championship was the best.
Within the context of your championships and kind of that era, that was a 2-year period that Mike had took off. How do you feel like you guys would have fared your two championship
first
teams?
First of all, he didn't take off.
Or, excuse me. He went to go play.
He was playing for
baseball.
He came back as number 45.
Yeah.
In the second one.
Second one, yeah.
He came back as number 45. And when he had 55 in the garden, nobody was saying he was selling. He wasn't Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have beat their ass. Because, like.
Dream was too much around that time.
No, think about this. There's a couple things. Michael's still the best player in the world mm-hmm. that I've ever seen. But that means he would have had to win 8 championships in a row.
It's a lot.
He's not going to win 8 in a mm-hmm. row. He's not. Nobody's done it in the modern era. He mm-hmm. wouldn't have done that. Secondly, there was no Horace Grant.
That's right, he was gone.
He left.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became way too small. Because even in, that was regular season. In the regular season years, we went 7-1 against them, or 6-2. They never beat us in the regular season. We used mm-hmm. to go to Chicago, smack them, come back to Houston, smack them up. You know, they like, BJ and you know, and Pax and those guys were good players, but they were too slow for us in the perimeter. Mm-hmm. And no one and Winnington and them couldn't guard him.
No chance.
And for some reason, Scotty wasn't Scotty then. He wasn't a scorer. He needed to score more. So I think we would have got him because of that. There was no Rodman. Now when they got Rodman, I'm like, oh,
different.
I don't know if them Rockets we would have got them, but they were too little
at that time.
And that lot. That's why Shaq and them. Got him. Because
mm-hmm.
when he mm-hmm. came back, it wasn't he was coming back from baseball. Mm-hmm. They were too little to guard Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to a team 4-2 that we swept. We swept Shaq and them.
Smacked them, yeah.
So, like, no. They would not have beaten us. If I didn't come in there and I'm not splashing with threes, Sam Cassell is coming in there giving you 25.
Yeah.
Robert Horry was the new Scottie Pippen then. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, like, standing outside and he was handling the ball,
Duncan,
flying through the air. Otis was in the first one.
Yeah.
And then Clyde, like, nah, they wouldn't have beat us. They would not have beat us because they were just too little and they wouldn't have won 8 in a row. Something would have happened. Somebody would have left because of contract. Somebody would have got hurt. Something. They wouldn't have beat us.
You made a great point right there. Back in the day, you didn't worry about being injured in the playoffs as much as they do now. You know, normally you had your guns when you was going into the big game. You know, championships have been won because key players have been missing. What do you think the difference is and why?
I think the lack of playing. I think there is load management, but the lack of not playing in a game, I think, increases your ability to get hurt.
Mm.
Play less minutes.
No question.
Would help. If you don't ride, like, I don't know, on your days off, did it make you feel better or worse? For me, it made me feel worse.
I did something. I had to do even
still
something
had to
on my
do
day
something.
Off just to keep, yeah.
And I think that these guys now are not taking the pounding, so then when they got,
they got
a pound in the playoffs,
they're not ready.
Because you go from playing every other day, taking days off, to all of a sudden, oh, man, I got to play 39, 46 minutes.
Mm.
And they're not used to the pounding.
Mm-hmm.
They're not used to it.
You're around 30. After the back-to-back championships and injuries start to set in, what's going through your mind?
Well, I always had to deal. You see the way I walk. I always had to deal with some, like, knee issues. Like, so I used to wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I'm going to bust his ass today.
You could tell right away.
Yeah. Or, damn, not today.
Mm. Like, what do you feel when you do that now?
I'm like, I'm going to get my ass busted today. I feel it now. Every day is not a good day. I'm going to lose that race to the board.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I'm going to lose the day. Oh, I got to figure out a trick to get to the board fast. Oh, today I got him, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, for me, you know, especially being good early and so long, like having to carry that shoulder in from high school to college, playing 4 years in college,
mm-hmm.
you know, that took a toll on a 165-pound dude, you mm-hmm. know? So by the time I was like 26, 27, when you're supposed to be hitting your superpowers, mine are like 28, 29, starting to fade.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Where like I gave a lot of those 8 good years early, but, you know, but you have the experience. Like, experience, you can never...
Take that.
You can't. And people always say, well, what's experience? I'm like, experience just reduces anxiety. Mm. And if you don't have anxiety, you're going to perform.
Right.
Like, because I have the experience to know that I've done this and been in this position, so I don't have the anxiety of not knowing what's going on.
Right.
You know, so then I feel comfortable. I feel I could see things that you can't see. You know, you could see things you can't see.
Mm. So you transitioned... into media, you're able to join TNT. Did you have any idea what you were getting yourself into?
Somewhat. I never wanted to be in media, but I just enjoyed it because I love the game. I mean, if you come to my house tonight, it's going to be 5 of us sitting around. We're going to be talking about the game,
mm-hmm.
talking about whatever it is. That's what we did. So my brother always says, you know, he should get paid half my TNT contract because I use his stuff. You know, my cousin says that we all do. We do group chats and like that's all we. That's mm-hmm. what we do. So I did notice like that most people couldn't in 30 seconds explain.
That's important.
What was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And not only explain it, but explain it to you guys who were at the highest level and also where my grandmother could understand.
Right.
I was like, oh, they can't do that. I just had that knack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if we're going to talk the talk, I think what makes me the best in the business is I see the peripheral. Mm. Like, I don't see, like, when I walked in here, I could see the environment that's created, and I could feel the energy of what part of each team that you pull from.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of, like, a five-minute walkthrough. That's just a gift that God's given me. And it's just in life. Like, I could see that in life, but I could see, I'm like, oh, that person's important to this process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my man here said, like, two comments. He jumped in. He's the only one who jumped in, and neither one of y'all said anything. Mm-hmm. He's important to the process.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all allow him to speak and be a former player. Those are the things I know. Right. Those are the things I bring to the show. I'm like, no. You know, when this guy, like, it was a player that had an unbelievable game. And great player. And I was like, I'm not sure if his teammates like him. Like, what do you mean? I was like, because I could tell by the reactions on the bench what's authentic and what wasn't. Like, if I had 50, everybody on the team would be going crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, or one of my teammates, I would know. I'm like, but a guy ain't really feeling getting 50. I'm like, it's a different energy.
Yeah.
And those are the things that I noticed, and I'm like, that's why they're going to win, or that's why they won't win.
Mm.
And I think, you know, where Shaq and Charles, they come from the... I always say Charles is he's a flashlight. And I know y'all have had some beef. Mm-hmm. Everybody has some beef with you, but you could never have beef with Charles in this way, I would say, because he looks at life through a flashlight and not a floodlight. So if you look at life through a flashlight, he's like, man, everybody in here got on Jordans. No, I got on Jordans. He's got the flashlight. He's correct in it. But when you put the floodlight on it, everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but sometimes the flashlight is super accurate because he's pointing it directly at you.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he misses things. My job is always to bring the floodlight to the situation and go, nah, you're right, but it's not that only, you know? So he has an accuracy point to it that will rub you the wrong way or you would overlove. I think he gets too much credit sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes I think he gets too much the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But he's accurate all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a flashlight,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I mean, I think that leads us into our next question. What makes you guys such a great team? Obviously, so many different insights and perspectives and points of views with Ernie and Shaq and Chuck. But what do you think makes you guys...
We're the only show on television that listens. The only show. Like, everybody else has their written notes, and they're going to... Like, I write shit down. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to write stuff down. I'm going to get this point out. But if Jack says something that makes me go another direction, not even on that point, I'm going to stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the topic is. So we're listening instead of, like, I got to get this out about Kyrie tonight.
A lot of people listen to respond instead of listen to understand. Yeah.
Like, they are, you know, it's like, you've been in an argument mm-hmm. before where the person has already got their pre-record. You telling them, no, I really was there at 6 o'clock. And they're like, they're waiting to get their point back out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm listening. Like, oh, you was there at 6? Tell me how you were there at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, explain it.
Right.
And we'll do it. That's the only thing that separates us. And that's a hard job to listen. Like, you can't just say, okay, today I'm gonna start listening.
Mm-hmm.
They just put four guys together that listen. We always didn't. And Shaq didn't listen at first. And until he realized we were listening. And I told Shaq, he was terrible, honestly, his first 6 months on the show.
You guys did some little piece on, what was it? You guys went behind the scenes of Inside.
Yeah, yeah, like we last did like a documentary.
Yeah, okay.
He was terrible. And two things happened that made him great. You know, I don't know. You know, I went to him first and I was like, bro, the stories you say in the green room are b- bananas. Like, the stuff you saying about Kobe and, like, you got to bring that to the... He's like, nah, they don't... And I was like, Shaq, that's one. I said, the other thing is, like, this is the first time in your life you ain't the most dominant player.
Hmm.
First time. Like, we might be better than you at this. So just be you and blah, blah, blah. And then the second thing happened. So Shaq used to come in and be Shaq. Y'all know what Shaq is.
I play him, yeah.
Shaq is a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq's gonna walk on, he's got 10 people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
He created a hookah lounge. No, in the studio. And they made let him do this. They were like, he was like, I have to have my hookah. So he has a hookah lounge outside they make, and they put a TV outside the studio. We got a green room. Like, yo, man, Chuck in the green room. We doing this for 15 years together. This dude gonna come in. Y'all gonna build a hookah lounge for him? Like, what's going on, yo? Like, what's going on? And then he's got Entourage. He's got Jerome and them. All mm-hmm. and Mark. They driving. Everybody's driving. The one's driving the Rolls. One driving the Bentley. One the Ferrari. It's like it's just a movie. And me and Chuck is not, Chuck for sure, and Chuck is very sensitive. He's like, he doesn't like it. I'm used to that in a way. Like, I'm okay with dudes mm-hmm. who are themselves, but mm-hmm. Chuck is not having it. So now he's not watching the game. He's literally DJ equipment. No, kid you not. He's practicing his DJ while a game is going on. They letting him get away with all that. So, because he's Shaq. So now he comes on the show, and he's like, he says something like, "Yeah, and DeAndre Jordan needed, and DeAndre's not playing tonight."
Mm.
So me and Charles like, because we sit next to each other. He's hitting me, and I'm hitting him. We're gonna get his ass today. So we just lighting into him. Oh, and we just going, you don't know this. And so now we saying stuff about the game because we know he didn't watch.
Mm-hmm.
So then our producer comes downstairs, and he's like, "What the is going on? Y'all giving him a hard time like that? You embarrassing him on our national TV?" I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Since when don't we make fun of each other when you don't know
right.
the shit?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. Matt Show gonna do it.
Anybody can get it.
Oh, and he goes Matt like this. And then the producer goes like this. "You're right. Fucking go. Get him."
Get him.
And from that day on, he turned. He's like, I gotta be on
no
point.
No shit.
He got on point.
Yeah.
What thoughts on the way the media landscape is kind of turning now? For and I'll use an example of Draymond getting kicked out and not doing media after the game, but going on his podcast and kind of explaining his point of view. Thoughts on just the way the media is and the players are kind of taking it more in their own hands now?
Well, you know, Instagram and Twitter, you know, you got voices. Like, you got more followers than people than we're gonna have viewers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and your soundbite is gonna live longer. So I don't have a problem with it. I just feel that the only difference what I feel today's player, the sensitivity.
Oh yeah.
Is what I don't understand. Like, you're going to put information out for us to hear as players, former players, and as media. And then when we speak about it, you get sensitive. Then don't put it out. Like, I'm not like, you can't do a reality show and then be like, oh, don't talk about my wife.
Right.
Like, are you doing a reality show? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Are we seeing her and you're telling us mm-hmm. that y'all had a problem today? Like, you can't, like, do that. And that's why I think the sensitivity part, I'm always surprised at, because they actually, and there's certain guys, like, I've always loved, like, that, I never understood. There's a couple guys I never understood. Like, and they, actually, both Kyrie and Kevin, I didn't understand them. I don't know them well, but I didn't understand them because I always loved them. Like, when they first came, everybody I knew always talked great about them when they first came. The first 5-6 years, they were like Kyrie and Kevin. And then it became like everyone hates me. Like you said, oh, and y'all talk. And I was like, no, 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 bro. Nobody hates you. Like, we all love you. Like, the narrative shifts because then people start hating them and they got hate on them. And I was like, I never seen that. Like, Steph Curry, his whole career, no one's hating on him. they're never going to be like, oh, we hate Steph Curry. But if he started saying, oh, y'all hating on me, or blah, 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 then people would start doing it. It's just they changed the narrative of their own script that I didn't understand why they did it, because I wasn't hearing what they were hearing. I just, me personally, and I'm in the media. I'm in the back rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with the players. I'm with the owners. I'm with the most unique position. I have an owner. I had this happen yesterday. I had an owner call me, a general manager call me, a player call me, an agent call me, and an AAU coach all in one day.
Mm.
And so I know I'm in the most unique position ever. And I had never heard that about them. So I would, that's the only question y'all ever have them on is like, when did they feel the hate started for them?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my one question, because I never felt it. Like, now, of course, I'm going to talk if you do something like in a basketball sense,
because
I could pull a film out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know that.
Right. I could pull a, you can't front on me. Like, I could pull a film and say, you didn't do this. But, you know, I never cared about, like, even with the vaccine with Kyrie, I never cared about it. Like, because that doesn't affect the game in me. Mm-hmm. And I always thought the social issue was different from the basketball issue. Like, I don't think we could ever tell him to do something that was a national pandemic, and the fear that people had and the misinformation that people were getting in both sides. Because, you know, they did tell us when we first was like, you take the vaccine, you'll never catch it. Like, they lying. Did say that. Right. That was the stuff going out.
It changed by 20
like, you know
times.
What I'm saying? So it's like, that's a different issue than so when I hear guys trying to bleed that in and like, oh, he wasn't there for his teammates. Like, that shit wasn't the, that's not the same. Taking a polio shot is not the same as playing basketball and not coming to work. Like, it's two different issues. So, I don't know. If y'all get him on to ask him, when did they feel the hate started?
Yeah, I mean, I talk to him a lot. I just, anytime you disagree with the masses, it's going to be like that. But at the same time, nobody understood the conversation. Him and Kevin Durant had the conversation. So it was understood between him and his teammate. So for people to say he turned his back on his teammates, you can't say that and actually know what you're talking about, because him and KD had the conversation.
Yeah, but you're not turning your back on your teammate because it's a social issue. It's not
personal.
Basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
It's two different things. Now, do I agree with it? No.
Right.
I was like, I'm vaxxed up and I'm boosted. Do you know what I mean? But that's just on the information I got. But I didn't make that decision based on TNT.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that had nothing to do with TNT.
Facts.
So I never understood how people put those together, especially in sports world.
Right.
Like, they're two different issues. Like, would you go to war or go to play basketball? Like,
yeah,
that's
two different Yep.
They don't blend.
Yep. Quick hitters coming down the stretch. First thing to come to mind, let us know your all-time North Carolina starting five.
Ooh. Phil Ford at the point.
Phil. I had him in Charlotte.
I'm a sixth man because of him. Phil Ford at the point. Michael at the two. James at the three. James Worthy at the three. Sam Perkins at the four. And Brad Daugherty at the five.
Brad Daugherty was better than Sheed? I'm just asking.
At the five, not at the four.
Okay.
Yeah, at the five.
Hey, you've been around. Not that's a great answer.
Not
that's
at the
a great
four.
Answer.
Not at the
that's
four.
That's a great answer.
And matter of fact, Sheed gets Sam.
Sheed gets Sam.
He does get Sam. He does.
Mm.
He does.
She's cold.
Sheed. I always tell my Sheed story. Like, so I see Sheed, right? We was getting all the texts, right? And we out eating. I'm like, Sheed, I'm waiting for the moment. I'm like, bro, you can't tech out in this series. Like, how can you not get a technical? He's like, Kenny, man, it feels like if I don't say nothing, my head's gonna explode. I'm like, well, we don't want your head to explode. Go ahead, keep talking,
talk
man. Like,
shit.
Go ahead, man. Like, go ahead, just go ahead, man. I don't want your head to explode. He could have been the best power forward of all time.
Mm.
He could have been. But he had a little too much Philly in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't want to do that. And he was a little too unselfish.
Simon Gratz.
Like, he was much... If I had, like, as great as Kevin Garnett is, but if I had to put my money on one game... One game, not the season. The season, I'm going Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett going to get me there and take me over the top.
His motor.
Yeah, he's going to get me and take... But if I said it's game seven...
Skill, straight skill.
On game seven, I'm going with Sheed. Mm. Game seven, for one game, he's going to get you there. And he's because he got more stuff than Kevin.
That's what I'm saying. He
put it on the floor. He could shoot the three.
Consistently.
He could block shots. He could defend. He could score on... He did it all. He just didn't want to be the best player.
Yeah.
He was okay with being... Part of a great team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's okay with that.
Good call.
And let me dispel the others thing that Shaq and them. We always say others, but I don't. They do. I hate the word others. Like you know how they say and the others.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate that term. It's like it irks me. Every time I say it, they hear it, I just want to scratch the freaking desk.
Mm-hmm.
Because it puts so much less value when you put. A guy, as you put, Matt Bond is an other.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Jackson is an other.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because you're not the star, but you're the other.
No, because star doesn't mean star. Like, because you take more shots doesn't make you the star.
Ooh. Talk
you
about
score
it.
Score more.
Preach.
Like, Charles, you were the best scorer, rebounder. But you couldn't, if you had to bring that ball up, we would have pressured your ass and you would not get the ball up court. Mm-hmm. So you need Kevin Johnson to be the best point guard to bring the rock up.
Right.
Like, his role is so valuable and so underrated when you call him an other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I had a problem when Charles was talking about KD and about riding the bus and they started saying the bus thing.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
When you're not a bus driver.
Driver, yeah.
No, time out. If you ride on a bus, that means you're... See, I'm getting upset. I mean, you're a damn passenger.
Yeah.
A passenger does nothing.
Yeah.
But wait for the arrival. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, if he would have said he's not the captain of the ship, I'm like, oh, okay, there's a first mate.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, there's even a program director for entertainment that's important. Isaac at the bar, the love boat, he was important. Like, every part
got
of
a role, right.
There's roles that's really important, but they're not similar.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say somebody's a bus rider at the level that KD is, it gives the perception for people who not play like us.
Right.
They get in their mind that...
The masses, yeah, no, you're right.
Oh, it takes one guy to win this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You bugging. It doesn't take one guy to win it.
In all actuality, Shaq, to be real in real time, we all riding the same bus. Nobody driving it.
Yeah.
We got a bus driver. So
yeah,
we all ride the bus.
Like, we on a ship.
We all riding the
we
bus.
We on a ship, man. It's like, no way. That term, those terms bother me, even though because it doesn't bother me for us.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me for...
They don't really know
they don't
the
get
level
it.
We get it.
The level that you have to be at to be one of the best 327-something in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. Facts.
There's only 327 of them.
Yeah.
There's only 5,000 of us that's ever touched the floor
ever.
In the NBA. In the world, in the history of basketball. You going to call me an other?
Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Like, when I got there, it was a dream. When I left, it was a reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I left, you said he was just a dream.
Right.
He was a reality when I left.
Like,
I got there the year before. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm the best player, but I put everybody in their right spot. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, Vernon, go to the two. You don't have to handle the rock. Like, boom, boom, boom. Like, okay, now you're going to have spacing. Like, that makes you a championship team, which y'all been on. Y'all understand that. Like, and when they say that, I'm like, y'all talking to people who don't understand the game. So,
hey. Top 75 list. Who's the biggest snubs for you?
Vince Carter.
Ooh.
Vince Carter. He held the league down for like 8 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was the face of not his team. He was the face of the league for 8 years, you know. Tracy was probably right behind him.
Yeah.
But Tracy was never, to me, the face of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Vince was the face of the league.
No question.
Like, David Stern and those guys, we need you to go to China. We need you to... He's the face of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I thought he was the biggest snub and underrated because it's Johnny come lately. They looking at Vince at Atlanta.
Right, that, he played 20 Carter. Years, right?
Yeah. At Vince Carter, you know, year 20, whatever. Nah, that ain't Vince Carter. Like,
right.
No.
But first on the scene in Toronto. Ooh, scary, New Jersey.
Like I just said, like, those guys didn't want to see Vince.
No.
Like, when he walked in the gym. Like, they didn't want to see him, like, at all. Like, so to me, that was, he was the biggest snub. Tracy was second, right in there. Right in there. And Bernard King, for me. Because Bernard King was
New York. Legend.
To me, I didn't see a small, Larry Bird and them dudes didn't want to see, I was, that's the era I grew up watching. They didn't want to see him. You know, they didn't want to see him. James Worthy, Larry Bird, they could not guard him. Yeah, they could not guard Bernard King.
Package. Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Ooh. Mandela, Bill Russell, Obama, need a female. Yeah, Shonda Rhimes. I would like to have her there because she writes stuff that typically isn't from our culture, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And I like this.
She's crossed over. Yeah, she's done like, a lot of different
typically
things.
Typically, they were like, "Oh, that's not your culture. How do you know that?" So I would like her there. And who else? I got one more. My guys from Up in All the Smoke.
Yeah, appreciate you. Yeah,
we
appreciate
that. Give a whole different perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping it right. Don't appreciate keep it real. You. Keep it right.
If you could have, you know what? My rookie year, Steve Nash told me that. He's like, bro, you can play a long time in this league, but stop worrying about keeping it real and start keeping it right.
He told me that a long time ago.
If you could have one guest on All the Smoke, who would it be? But before you answer, you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Okay.
And before you answer, we've had three of your TNT showmates on the show already, so there's only one more left.
Yeah. Who's the one left?
Chuck?
Y'all don't want him. Y'all don't want Chuck. Chuck is going to say the same shit that you see on TV. He's not going to change his answers. He's not going
to
change.
We're not trying to change his answers. We want to get some stories.
I would like to see him on your show, but he's not like the first person I think of.
Yeah.
I enjoy when you guys have like people who's part of the basketball culture, but not part of basketball. Because like when you look at your wall.
I can give you an answer.
Five people, you only got one basketball player up here. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I got an answer for you if you think of one.
Who's that?
You just did a movie with him.
Adam Sandler?
Mm.
Adam Sandler, you love. I can
make
the call.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan, bro.
We both are.
No, he is honestly the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. He and Drew Carey from Price is Right.
Yeah.
The two nicest men I've ever met. Like, just genuinely
nice people.
Nice. Other than Akeem Olajuwon. Kaleem Olajuwon, the most honorable guy I've ever met.
He called me.
Most honorable.
He called me.
Most honorable.
He called me.
And then Adam is the nicest guy I've ever met.
So there we go. You heard it here first. Kenny Adam said Sandler. He will get Adam Sandler for us.
Yeah. Before you leave, bro, we got something for you. You know, somebody we look up to, so we got some gear from All the Smoke.
I thought these were the sneakers you had back in the day.
The
protégés. Hey, I thought they were boxers.
I wouldn't give you them shoes for your dog that you own.
That's a wrap.
Thank
you, Kenny Smith, for your time. We know you're busy, man, but we appreciate you. Catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Sunday nights on Showtime.
My mission is your mission.
From the producers of Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard comes The Man Who Fell to Earth. Academy Award nominee Chiwetel Ejiofor.
This is the next step. Nothing will be the same.
Academy Award nominee Naomi Harris.
They are coming for you.
The Man Who Fell to Earth. Series premiere streaming April 24th on Showtime.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.